what they see as important. And I'll go ahead and qualify this after the financial update and as we get into this series that we're not doing this series just to kind of pad our numbers at the end of the year, right? We didn't have a finance meeting and be like, guys, we're running a little bit short. Let's do a sermon series about it to pad that. No, that's not it at all. All right, we're doing this to talk about how we offer our whole selves to the Lord. And we'll talk a little bit more about why this is good to talk about in a minute. But for now, let's pray, and then we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the chance to be here as a family this morning and talk about something that we don't get to talk about very often, Lord, but is so prominent around us and carries such power in our society today. And a lot of times we don't know what to do with that. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would calm any nervous or anxious hearts as this subject can kind of bring up some stuff. Lord, speak truth to our hearts this morning and cast away any lies of the enemy that he might want to plant in our hearts. We love you. Amen. So I want to spend the first few minutes just talking a little bit more about why we're doing this series, why we feel like we should talk about this on Sunday mornings. And this isn't something we typically do. In fact, I look back and the closest thing to this was about 10 years ago when we talked about something like this. And, you know, money isn't something we need to talk about all the time, but we can't never talk about it either. I mean, for one thing, it's in the Bible. And if we at NLCF, I'd say we're fairly committed to the Bible. And if we are, then we simply just can't avoid the number of times in Scripture that talks about money or wealth or possessions. And I did a little research, and some sources say there are over 2,000 verses in the Bible about this. And about 10 or 11 out of the around 40 of Jesus' teachings and parables were about this subject. And so, if it's in the Bible, that seems like a pretty good reason to talk about it. But in addition to this, we simply want to normalize the conversation about money. All right, we understand that in today's culture, it's a little bit taboo to talk about this subject. All right, it's something that's fairly private. All right, but we want to be able to get to the place where we can have meaningful conversation about this without fear of kind of jumping to conclusions or kind of being on edge a little bit. In a few months, we're going to be launching something called a capital campaign. All right, and what that is in general, you'll hear more about it later, but it's a specific season of time where we're going to be talking about financial giving a little bit more. And we're going to be asking a lot of different people, near and afar, to jump on board with that. All right, we're going to have a specific goal of how much money we want to see the Lord bring in through that to cover some of our larger expenses we anticipate over the next couple years. Things like the church plant, all right, things like possible building renovations. All right, and so as this capital campaign gets going, we just want to kind of soften the landing a little bit. Go ahead and start talking about this so we're a little bit more used to the conversation once it gets started around January. And lastly, probably the most important reason I feel like we should talk about this is that money is just it's something we interact with every day. It's all around us. We can't avoid it. And in a college town especially, that is frequently kind of driven by getting good grades to get degrees, to get a well-paying job with the ultimate goal kind of being financial gain, I mean, this is something we interact with very, very regularly. But what can tend to happen is that we start to direct so much of our attention and our focus to this one thing that it can kind of become an idol a little bit. And I think we're all guilty at different times of kind of bowing down to this idol of money and financial stability. Right? When we start to pursue money at all costs, when we start to shape our posture and our practices towards that, that kind of becomes the thing that we worship. And the power kind of goes to that, and it kind of starts to have control over us. And I definitely get it. This is a sensitive subject. Right? We understand the gravity that comes with something like this, and so we, rightfully so, we want to treat it with respect. Whenever people are kind of talking about money, we don't want to boast about how much we have, and you know, we don't want to complain about how little we have. We don't really like talking about our salaries. You know, we've seen people use and abuse money to create injustices, to cause harm to the marginalized. All right, we understand the tensions at play, and so instead of trying to have meaningful conversation, what tends to happen is that we just kind of don't talk about it. We turn inward because that's just easier to do. But as followers of Jesus, I don't know if that's an okay way to handle this. Right? The church needs to be a place where we can vulnerably talk about something as personal and practical and real as our finances. We want to genuinely let God take full control, take the reins of something as this important in our lives. And so as we step into this whole series, all right, let's just come acknowledging the different tensions at hand, all right, and realize that the grace of Jesus washes over this too. We don't always do it perfectly, all right, but we're gonna at least try. All right. So, with all these reasons of why we should talk about money, how about we do that? How about we jump in? All right, the series that we're starting today is called Spent: Generosity in a World of Scarcity. And honestly, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, I think we all can kind of see the value of being generous, right? It's a good thing. We want to be able to give and spend money freely, but at the same time, it just kind of feels like we can't. Everywhere we look, every person and organization just never seems to have enough. They never seem to have what they need, and so we feel this tension of we want to be generous, but it's hard. There's scarcity all around us. And as we begin talking about generosity over the next few weeks, it can be easy to kind of get the wrong impression of what that means. We start to equate generosity with being frivolous, and that's not it at all. By trusting God with our finances, that doesn't mean we act foolishly. That doesn't mean we make unwise decisions with our money. I mean, for me, if you know me, I'm a numbers guy, right? I care very deeply about where money is and where it's going and how to make wise, God-honoring decisions with these types of things. And the beautiful thing is that we can be both wise and generous. Right, those two things don't have to be separate. It's possible to do both. All right, and being generous isn't just for the rich either. So many times we get into this thought pattern of, well, we'll be generous once we get that job. And once we get that job, we'll be generous once we get a raise or get a promotion. And it's always kind of something we'll do later. But I don't think that's the way Jesus would want us to look at this. He's always kind of putting it off. And so for the rest of our time this morning, I want us to dive into a passage with the man himself, Jesus, and his interaction with money, all right? So we're going to be talking about the story of the widow's offering this morning. It's going to be found in both Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel, Mark 12, Luke 21. Today, we're going to focus on Mark, though. So you can go ahead and start turning there, Mark 12, 41 to 44. And as you're turning there, or it'll be up on the screen. A little context, all right, what's going on in this passage? So from what we can kind of understand of the timeline of things, most likely this encounter is just a few days after Palm Sunday. So Jesus made his triumphant entry on the young colt, and then he spent a few days kind of in and around the temple before Thursday, Friday, the plot to crucify him takes place. And so this happens kind of in those few days in between where Jesus is in and out of the temple engaging with people in conversation. And one day, he's there with his disciples, and this happens. It says, and he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. So as we study this passage, I think there's really two things we need to look at. And the first one, maybe the more obvious one, is to look at the widow. All right, this poor widow comes up, most likely dressed in fairly shabby clothing, and she drops these two coins into what was likely kind of a funnel trumpet-shaped vessel where all the offering money went in. And Jesus said this was all she had. And in today's money, it was probably about a dollar. Right? All she had to her name was about a dollar. And she drops these coins in, and then Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box." Now, like I said, I'm a numbers guy, and if I was sitting there with Jesus and he just said, "The woman who put two coins in put more than these large sums of cash," I would have been like, "Well, carry the seven, divide by two. Nah, Jesus, I ain't getting that. I think your math is wrong a little bit." Thankfully, Jesus clarifies. All right, he says, "For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." All right, this woman gave away essentially her life. Jesus is saying it's not always about the numbers, but this is an example of what good giving looks like. This is how to live generously, sacrificially. The rich people, they had come in, they dropped huge amounts of cash, but for them, that was nothing. All right, their standard of living, their quality of life likely wouldn't change because of what they were giving. But for her, she gave until it hurt. In her world of scarcity, with a dollar to her name, she lived generously. And Jesus said, look at what she did. That's how I want you to handle situations like this. She gave so much that if God didn't come through for her, she'd be in trouble. But how often do we do that? All right, and I'm not even saying giving away our entire life savings. I'm just wondering, how often do we give to the point where it even inconveniences us? Where maybe we couldn't do or buy something that we would have wanted to otherwise? All right, what does sacrificial giving look like for you? If we're in this place of a widow not having much to offer, what does that look like? So there's the widow's side of things. But we can't study this passage without looking at the other characters as well. And I think this is actually where maybe the stronger message is. All right, yes, what the widow did in her example of sacrificial giving is incredibly important. But the more you look at the context of this passage, I think the other people in the story, the rich, are the ones that Jesus really wanted to address. Right, these were likely landowners in the area, likely some businessmen who had come in from out of town in order to be present for the holiday festival. And when you look around this passage in both Mark and Luke, he is likely addressing some of the religious leaders, the scribes as well. And so these rich and powerful people were giving numerically, but their heart was all in the wrong place. By giving out of their abundance, they didn't have any skin in the game. They were giving, honestly, just for show. And it's this showiness of spirituality that Jesus constantly pushes back against all through the Gospels. When people are performing these spiritual disciplines or acts in order to look good in front of other people, for pride, the self-glorification, all of that, Jesus says that is not how we do this. At the same time, the rich were giving a lot of money, and the temple likely had a budget too. All right, to keep the temple running, money had to come in, and it was probably the rich folks dropping lots of cash that helped make that happen. All right, Jesus isn't dumb. I think he understood this concept, and so if Jesus cares about the temple, which I think he did, and he knows the temple needs money, then why does he value these two coins more than these large sums of money? I think the answer to that is that Jesus cares way more about the heart of the giver than the temple, or in our case, the church's bottom line. Jesus cares way more about where your heart is than actually how many dollars you're giving. Right, this isn't to say that the bottom line doesn't matter, right? We can't swing that far on this either. Jesus cares about his people. He knows that we need resources in order to continue going, to move forward. He's not unaware of that. His first priority is your heart. Matthew 6:33, it's one of my favorite verses, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all this food, water, clothing, necessities, the things that we very much need, all these things will be added to you. God knows that we need things, but he says, I want you to focus on me first. We're going to take care of all these other things. That's something I don't think the rich people dropping their cash in the buckets, I don't think they understood that. Because for them, it wasn't about God. It wasn't about their intimate relationship with him. It was really about themselves. And we kind of do the same thing today. It just looks a little bit differently. All right, they satisfy their hearts by kind of showboating their giving, showing off. And we satisfy our hearts simply by not giving. All right, selfishness, like the rich people in the temple and like ourselves, makes giving about us and our conveniences and our preferences instead of about the Lord. And oftentimes, it's just easier not to do it. I think this comes into play, especially when we start to fall into the trap of thinking that what we give doesn't matter. All right, as we listen to wonderfully delivered financial updates, such as earlier, you know, we look and we see this budget of $100,000, we think, there's just no way that I can help with that. We think that my few bucks that I can give, it's not going to matter, and so I'm just not even going to do it. But when we start thinking like that, the whole foundation, the whole premise of our thinking is slightly flawed. Because like we're talking about here, Jesus says it's not just about the bottom line. It's about your heart. Where is your heart in this? Is your giving, is it demonstrating your compassionate heart to God? As we always say with the financial updates, are you genuinely doing what you can? Some of you know I oversee the finances here at NLCF, one of the reasons why I wanted to teach about this. And honestly, one of my favorite things is when we're processing the giving and I start to go through the Venmo transactions especially and I see $1 here, I see $5 here, and I say, look at that. They are doing what they can. Just like the widow in the offering box, she said, I don't have much, but I can do something. And when I see those $1, $2, $3 transactions, I feel like I can see a little bit of the heart of those people saying, I can't do much, but I can do something. Do we say yes and celebrate large gifts too? Absolutely. But I love seeing when I can just tell when people are sacrificially giving what they can. And it is beautiful. It's a lovely, lovely thing. So I think with all this, it starts to beg the question, where are we at? All right, I imagine this has maybe started to bubble up a few things. And so I think our best response this morning is to answer that question, where are we at with all of this? To have a clarified way of explaining where we're at. In order for the Lord to start growing us in this area, we got to know where we're starting from. And so we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. If you pull out your bulletin that you're given on the way in, you should have seen, or if you haven't seen yet, there's a kind of a special insert. It's a little piece of paper. It says, where are you at? We realize you're in Colonial Hall. It's not the question. And all we're asking you to do is to simply check a box. That's it. Check a box and drop it in the buckets on the way out. All right, I know a lot of folks are like, eh, I don't like filling things out. You're not even really filling anything out. You're checking a box. All right, and this is completely anonymous. The only reason why we have the phone number line there is if you want help with any of this or want to talk about it more. And the reason why we're doing this is really twofold. All right, one, it's going to serve you in your response to this because we need to clarify where we're at in order to know how we're going to grow in this. And two, it's going to bless us as a church to be able to know and understand our people better so we can love and shepherd and disciple our church in a better way. And so we're going to walk through each of these, but while we're doing it, once you find the one that relates to you, just check the box. All right, so the first one, I want to give, but feel like I can't afford it. Right, you understand that the Lord calls us to be generous, but things just feel a little bit too tight financially. Right, maybe you don't have an income, or maybe you do have a job and it barely pays the bills. All right, if that's you, no shame, check the box. Second, I believe I can give, I just haven't done it. Sometimes we just need reminding. All right, we need to remember some accountability. If you want some accountability or you want help setting something up, write your phone number there. That's what it's there. We can reach out and connect, figure something out. Next, I don't believe people should give to the church. All right, maybe you don't believe that this is something that's important to do. Maybe you kind of disagree with the entire premise of giving. Just check the box. We want to know that too. Fourth, I don't feel connected enough to NLCF to give. All right, maybe this is your first or second Sunday and you're like, whoa, this is kind of a different thing. It's okay. All right, or maybe you're new and you're a freshman and you do like to give to things that you feel connected to, but you just don't feel connected to us yet. Again, check the box. All right, very simple. And then these last two are for those who do make a regular practice of giving. But even within this, we still want to know where your heart is. This one says, I give primarily because I feel like I should. This driving force is that we need to meet the budget. And this is something, as we're doing these financial updates and talking about the very practical side of it, I do think we have to be careful of. Because we absolutely never want you to give out of a sense of guilt or manipulation, and I hope and pray that we never do that.